were supposed to be here, but for a reason or the other, they couldn't make it at the end, but I want to name them because they are part of the service family in the European Parliament, and particularly Federalist Australians, Liberal from Lithuania, Mia Petra from Pula, Socialist from Finland, Thomas Jarowski, EPP from Czech Republic, and Andrea Schwab, EPP from Germany, who were supposed to be with us and then moved ahead to Council. The last part of the day will be moderated by Christian Krug, President of the Europe, and myself, and we will alternate in the questions to the NEP. We ask you to be short in your answers, not be longer than 3 minutes. I know there is one person, shorter better, but let my also to keep it brief. And we have prepared 10 questions. We see if we manage to one round, you can speak English or French. The interpretation is still going on. And to make it more tricky, I've lost my little question. So we can go with the first one, the first one for Ms. Bresso, former president of UEF, currently member of the European Parliament, sitting in the Socialist and Democrat group. You and Edmar are working on an important report in the Constitutional Affairs Committee on how to improve the functioning of the European Union within boundaries. Can you tell us a bit more of what's going on? What are the key proposals that you're making, at what stage you are, and how the Parliament sees the short-term report versus long-term?
Merci, je vais parler français, donc qui vous montrerait parmi les écouteurs. Évidemment, je ne peux pas vous dire tout ce qu'il y a dans le rapport dans le site, mais notre objectif, c'est de démontrer que le traité actuel contient la plupart, tous les éléments pour aller de l'avant et intégrer plus l'Union européenne. Et en particulier, qu'il nous permet d'aller de l'avant dans les secteurs essentiels. Donc, tout d'abord, l'Union économique et monétaire, on peut aller vers une capacité fiscale de l'Union européenne, une capacité économique, on peut arriver à avoir un ministre des Affaires financières européennes, ministre des Finances européennes, ou du Trésor européen, il faudra définir, chacun de définir ce qu'on fait par son nom, mais surtout on peut répondre aux grandes questions que les citoyens posent à l'Union européenne. Encore maintenant, si vous voyez, l'Eurobaromètre, une large majorité d'Européens, par exemple, pense que l'Union européenne devrait faire quelque chose de plus dans le domaine de la défense, de la sécurité, la politique migratoire. Et donc, sur toutes ces questions, nous essayons, et je pense que nous arrivons à démontrer qu'on peut faire beaucoup de choses à l'intérieur des traités. Et puisque un des problèmes actuels, je crois que ça a été dit dans le débat précédent, c'est de ne pas reculer devant l'avancée violente des populismes et des anti-européismes, je crois qu'on a absolument besoin de pousser les lumières européennes à travers l'action du Parlement dans cette direction. On ne peut pas attendre une révision constitutionnelle. Mais pourtant, je crois qu'on est en train, de travailler. On ne peut pas encore dire ce qui arrivera. On voudrait arriver à avoir en même temps l'adoption de notre rapport, d'un autre sur la capacité fiscale de l'Union européenne et de l'Ukraine. Sur les modifications nécessaires au traité. Parce qu'on sait aussi très bien que dans tous ces domaines, conversare con le partite avec le protecteur. Et donc, il nous faut aussi des modifications de traité. Et je crois que le Parlement va un peu dans cette direction. Dire qu'on peut faire à court terme, parce que ça prend de façon du temps la formation, à court terme, on peut faire beaucoup de choses avec le traité actuel et on doit le faire, donc on n'a pas d'excuse. Et à plus long terme, mais en commençant à le demander dans cette année, hein, si possible, on peut faire, on peut aussi aller à une conversion et donc compléter le processus à travers les modifications essentielles de ce processus. Voilà, c'est même un peu plus de ce que nous avons.
We should come up today, but maybe there's been a push by several member states against the Schutzkanzler system. We believe the Schutzkanzler system is one of the most recent progress that we have made inside of the boundary treaty, the boundary of the treaty. So we would like to keep this system, and this is something Jeff is campaigning for. The German section has recently managed to make all German youth partner organizations sign up to a letter to that effect. And I'm wondering, what will you and the EP stand up for president ideas? Will you make sure that no candidate, not the shooting candidate, will be endorsed after the next committee election?
The question is first. Because it was my amendment to the EPP international convention which made that possible. So I belong to a group of inventors. The German government is doing the right approach. We have to keep it in the practical political life. It works. Because parliaments stood together and it's clear to anybody that now the citizens via the European Parliament decide about the head of the executive branch. Therefore it's a legitimation for democratic policy. And to give up that because of the council which meets in darkness, takes it over again, would be a dramatic legitimation of the European Union. And therefore, we have to make it work in the future. I think for the first time it happened, we in Parliament stay strong together, the governments have no chance to change it. But make it practical, you don't have to do the use of individuals. My party, the EPP, has changed of the last party congress or statute. They have from procedure on the nomination. That I think is the way. It's a big question of changing the treaty. But it's not possible in the next group. But it's to bring it clearer in the normal procedure in the member states, in the parties, so that it's not a little bit looking artificially, as we had the last time, it was not fully in the public debate, with the exception of the incumbent, to make it a point which would be worth it if all parties in time nominate a candidate. They have no chance of it. But remember the debates I had with my chancellor, or we had this EPP prime minister. They all do not like this because they know they lose power. But they gave in later because they said they had no chance against it because of the practical development. And therefore, we have to strengthen the practical development to make it unimpossible to change it anymore. That depends very much on your support and the strength of your Parliament. To be together and that the domain of the election will be our candidate for our Commission President, and we have to make clear to them procedures currently for our assessment. Clarify, it must be clear to the Council of every nomination they do to the Parliament which has to be elected has no chance if it's a nomination against the will of the leadership of the political votes of the European Parliament.
In your speech earlier today, you have presented the institutions need to fight back, and the federalist institutions need to fight back. Fight back the inertia of the government, fight back the nationalists and the populists. You have been in the European Parliament for long, and you know that the European Parliament is listened to in lawmaker to use the regulatory power, it probably isn't very much on, you know, the data side. So, in concrete, what do you think the European Parliament can do in the next 2 years to find that?
The big problem is the connection of European institutions, and there is where the European Parliament and citizens know. There's a long distance from Strasbourg and Brussels back home, wherever we live. And I was 10 years ago rapporteur for the statute of European political parties, because in fact we lack the link between the citizens and the European policy and the democracy that is. Of course, political parties, and it is, of course, organizations of civil society. But as we are in a parliamentary democracy, and we go every 5 years for elections, you need that element of European political parties. As you know, when it was now my fourth term, already in the last election campaign, I promised myself to go back to the Constitution Committee and fight for the reform of the European election system. And we have done it last period, and we could not really get it out of the APCO committee. We have done it through the plenary. It's the project of the parliament to make the European elections European. And it starts with very small elements, the visibility of European political parties. So the proposal was that on all the ballot papers, when you have a national party, you have a slash, and there is the European party. So that would start tonight, and people would say, what, in my case, SPD, SPD versus SPD, or Elmar, CDU, EPP versus EPP, and the other stuff. That's a little point. Of course, we have bigger plans. We have, as Monica was arguing, European list, a European circumscription, focusing the Spitzenkandidat, I tell you, this is a legislative act and a special procedure. We have done our homework, now we're applying in the council, and they have to decide by unanimity. And as we know, if something has to be decided by unanimity, you get the least common denominator. Therefore, I look forward to the next bigger opportunity where we can have a package. And I'm sure that the parliament will fight for this connection between us and the citizens by European list, European circumscription, Spitzenkandidat politics. So, as I mentioned, I think we will get a third convention, and this will be for democratization of the EU parliament. It must be possible.
We also want to hear anything to consistently retweet our tweets from the Chat Secretariat. We're very pleased about that. And you speak about the United States of Europe. You want to phrase to speak out about the United States of Europe, about European Federation, about European solutions to our problems. All these problems that we currently face, and the European on the right, what do you think are the next immediate steps that we can take?
Well, I think that, thank you for the nice presentation, and I must say I just exited the age range of the Jeff. In fact, I am in that roll-up, in the demonstration. I'm there with the time, so I really think it's important that we maintain our militant activity, and it was underlined today. We work together between us and the activists of the JEF and UEF to pursue our objectives. In the short term, I think that what the parliament is doing is right, in the sense that also Mercedes explained, we are trying to do both, exploit as much as we can the present treaty and also indeed the changes that we need. I also think that the convention is the right way ahead, and Joe has said again now after he also said in the previous speech. I think that we need to not look like we are proposing the adjustment at the margin, because the people of Europe, if we want to do politics, if we want the things to change, if we don't want just to discuss it with us, we need solutions and we need consensus. So we need also to build a narrative and build a project that looks like overarching, that looks engaging for citizens. So in my opinion, what we should do is to use, as it was already said, but I can only repeat that because I'm so much convinced, use the occasion of the aftermath of the 23rd of June referendum to start very publicly, also Monica has underlined that we need the institutions to have a public impact. We need the European Parliament to publicly raise this voice to push for a federalist project after the 23rd of June. Because anyway, if UK decides to stay, for example, my committee, Airport Committee, will have to work a lot on the issues that are raised by the agreement. But also if UK leaves, in any case, we cannot stand, in my opinion, with the opt-out growing and growing. We have to reach the opt-out. We don't want to oblige anyone to the ever closer union. There will be countries that are more ready now, also because they have the common currency, and others that are not. I think what has been written in the political motion for the Congress is very clear, is very understandable, also for the citizens. So I really think that we have to reach out to the people and to bring them to our side, because I'm also convinced that especially young people, if they are given a very clear method, they will rule the land. We can do it, but we have to be to understand that this next 6 months will be crucial. If we lose this next 6 months, so I really hope that also on one side, as it said, we work as balance, but also we have some governments that will support us, especially of some of the bigger countries. Because without the support of some governments to push this plan forward, I think we will have problems. So that's why also we need the word from the public opinion side, from the civil society, because we need at least our governments to work together with us, together with the parliament, together with the federal representatives towards this problem.
Respected is the Turkey, the other supported is the Turkey. I think that is the scandal, what he has said and what he is saying now, and Mr. Disselkamp also has said, for a European federalism. And I think we should say that it's a scandal, and we should say very, very strongly, and probably in streets, we have to recuperate the streets, because if the civil society don't ask for a European federation, we will not get it. So we have to organize the whole of the convention, let me say, with more and more pedagogic and activist industry. Because that is simply unacceptable. He's going much beyond what is here the role and what he is appointed for. And he's going in a destructive way that is against our the principles on which we have made even our. Because it's in our way. So, what I am very sad is because of the lack of absolutely consistent response to this kind of anti-European. You will not fight the populist anti-European politics being a light anti-European populist. And it's very much the answer.
Bringing our social ideas to
with the European project, and I was very much surprised, and I liked it, when President Juncker said, when he started as the Commission President, we want to have a triple A for socialist Europe. And I think we as federalists, we as parliamentarians, have to press Mr. Juncker that he is really coming to results people will be convinced about. Second point, I just ignore you a little bit your question because I want to raise one other issue which has not been discussed until now. I was very much engaged for years on the question of European citizens' initiatives. And we at the European Parliament had a review on how the European Citizens Initiative was going on in its first 3 years. And we had made a very, very good proposal to change the regulation and to take away a lot of bureaucratic hurdles which are still in that regulation. And I think we as federalists, we have to take care about that instrument because it's going to die step by step if it's not revived. And the Commission said, well, it's interesting what the European Parliament said to that respect, but we don't make a proposal for a revision of that regulation. And here I would like really to ask you to support the European Parliament in that respect because if you look at the William Paul and 10 member states, including France and Germany, that the support towards European Union is about 50%, and even in France, it's only 38%. So we have to do something, bringing back people to the European project. And a lot of our speakers talk about this, but European citizenship is one of the instruments we could use. And here, beg your pardon, Euro is very important, but this is even more important from my point of view, because if you lose the citizens, we cannot go ahead with our global ideas. We need support and we need financing.
Foreign and security policy. The foreign and security policy challenges on the European Union are immense. And whatever you learn, there are obviously problems or crises. And it's also one of the problems where the consensus of European citizens for European capability is the strongest. Consistently, when you hear about the thing where Europeans like European something, contrary to other people. And paradoxically, this is the field where there is the least progress. How do you see this progressing in the next few years? What do you see concretely moving on in events? And what can the institutions do in the parliament actually do?
Thank you, Paolo. Indeed, it's a tendency, I think all of us, you know why it is exactly the foreign affairs and defense and security are from the traditional thinking of sovereignty. Core of each national state built in the last 200 years. And national states are not likely to part of their competences in the field of foreign affairs, defense, security, to a, I don't know, level. The situation like this, we saw the situation even on the symbolic side, don't like to have the name foreign affairs minister of the European Union, and invented something very long, high representative and so on. Don't like to have even officially argument and flag of the union. But from other side, the citizens, we have it on, I assume, on our side. And we need to fight for more common policy in the field. We can also regret many times why in the 54 in the French Parliament was rejected the European Defense Agency. We can also regret that the member states are talking about pooling and sharing of our resources. The European Defense Agency is unfortunately, from my side, in my Arba is the issue what was not in the intent of the 19th century in the army in one place, but European defense capacity of sharing and pooling of our defense capacity. It's a project which we need to push further. Elma said very wrongly, not very strong, correctly, that our army of the 28 member states is bigger than the army of the United States and Russia together from the number of soldiers. So we are strong only if we are united. We are weak if we are not united. And if I see he was written opposing nationalism and the European division, unfortunately, the old side, the populists, the anti-Europeans, see in us federalists are enemies. They always say the federalists are the people who like to destroy. We like to destroy Europe because with our request for a European federation or United States of Europe. We are not going together or with the national interest of each member state. So we need to know exactly how the nationalists and populists are trying to destroy our union. We should be not naive that power outside of the European Union in Moscow is very much investing in destroying our unity and paying to opinion makers, to media in the different member states, to misuse the issue with the migration, to make us divided, and to let the Indian countries have no common position also on the foreign affairs issues and on the security and defense field.
The second question, and I would like to ask you on the issue of the UK referendum. In that 2 weeks, you will have to vote on the UK should to remain or leave the European Union. Let's assume the vote is to remain. Is that the beginning of the two-thirds Europe with a closely integrated core around the Eurozone and less integrated outer circle with the non-Euro countries? How do you see that issue?
Je crois que si je décide de rester, ça ce sera la seule manière de rester ensemble. Sinon, ça veut dire qu'on reste tout en arrière. C'est-à-dire qu'on a une perte de rouler à la vitesse de la Grande-Bretagne. Ça, je ne crois pas que ce soit possible. Et donc, je pense que, quoi qu'il soit le résultat, il faut qu'un groupe de pays, et si on n'a pas un groupe de pays, que ce soit le Parlement européen, naturellement, hein, donc, j'espère qu'on pourra le faire, mais il faudrait aussi un groupe de pays, décide qui va aller de la main. C'est-à-dire que pour eux, Electoral Union signifie aller vers une cession de souveraineté. J'y réfléchis depuis un moment, je crois que aux citoyens, si on veut donner un rêve aux citoyens européens, il faut qu'il y ait le courage d'avoir beaucoup qui se rendent compte. Mais mobiliser ceux qui, d'une façon émotionnelle ou même seulement d'une façon rationnelle, pensent qu'il faut aller dans une question de souveraineté. Et ça, c'est mieux. Parce que si on va regarder comme formellement dans les traités, les choses qui sont. Mais jamais les États ont accepté que ce qui est écrit dans ce traité signifie une vraie question de souveraineté. Et donc, la manière dans laquelle on prend la décision n'est pas adéquate. Et chaque fois, on dit qu'on a fait un truc magnifique sur la politique migratoire, on a fait un truc magnifique sur la politique de défense, de recherche, de sécurité, mais ce qu'on n'a pas fait, c'est donner le pouvoir à quelqu'un de poursuivre ces politiques sans devoir chaque fois être bloqué par les manifestants. Donc, je crois qu'il faudra arriver à une Europe à deux vitesses, il faudra avoir le courage.
And let's look at the other scenario. They vote to go. And in the you've already said they're going to be satisfied. But let's focus a bit on what we can do ourselves for ourselves. How can we give to the rest of the European Union the sense that the building is not falling apart? So the question is, in the end of the goal, do you expect the other countries to react with a relaunch of any integration projects, and particularly obviously German, France, and the regional funding countries? And if that is going to happen, do you think it's more in the euro area or more in the defense area, as we actually happened to read in the last phase in the newspapers, or we're not going to be any signal at all? What do you expect?
The European Parliament will have, on the Friday morning after the vote, the session of this large bureau, the good hearing for also we are asked to prepare a resolution to decide. On Monday, you have a clear position that for the European Council options. If there will be a no, then it's a no. And if there have not been going to follow that example, then it be clear that it's now just divorce negotiations, nothing else. And to not to give them a chance, as Johnson said, let's say no, and then we may have said another time.
No.
This would be a wrong example. We take the vote of the people seriously. What we have to do is, for sure, we can continue the number we have to do. That is defense. That is Euro. But in the Euro, we have to lose one point. That we have changed the text in the British, in this country. They came up with a proposal and those which said the Euro countries and the others. So the British were with the other and not just Euro countries together. We changed that. That all countries, with the exception of Denmark and Britain, have the obligation to go into Europe, which is written in. So I talked about 19 to the others, I talked about 26 to 2. And we have to keep these 26 together and help them. I talked about this facility today. That we can move forward. I would not like to have a new default in Europe. Therefore, this Europe is open to all the countries that have a commitment and take their commitment seriously and help them to meet that. I would not be sure. It was our proposal that the text to make the change. The second change is in foreign security policy and ever closer union. The European Parliament delegation managed, only the European Parliament delegation managed, that the whole phrase about the European Union was deleted. And this is a funny, stupid definition of the European Union. It is even written in the text now that the British are not allowed anymore to stop the other 27 for the European Union. It will stay in the text, it will go further on the European Union. That was a big success for, of these 2 points, the legislation. By the shepherd and the president of the European Parliament and my Spanish colleague. I will agree with you because when you read the first text of the proposal, but that was not the result, and I will provide you later with the result of the negotiation.
Mr. Mine, you spoke about the Franco-German friendship earlier, and very emotional words. And it's true that the Franco-German engine has been the driver of every major
So there is, of course, from these three wars, and I refer to my grandfather as five passports, by three wars where he changed always on this border nationality, and that was the core idea to bring Germany and France together with Benelux and Italy as founding members, and then the others joined. So we had, after the fall of the Berlin Wall, we had the Weimar Triangle, of course, to associate Poland, and I would say to prolong this line to Spain, but I think we have to get like-minded countries. Of course, you need somebody to push for it, and for the moment it's for Italy. But the Renzi to make the most sensible proposals in the last months, and silence from France and silence from Berlin. So it is more Italy that is pushing for good ideas. And therefore, I would say we should work for Friends of Federal Union, where we collect everybody. Yeah? If Finland or the Baltic states are with us, it is most welcome. And the German French engine got to be a bit low and sometimes even not working. And therefore, I think others should come into this avant-garde and promote it. And therefore, to answer your question, I would like after the 23rd of June that like-minded countries come ahead and make the proposals that have to be made. And I mentioned what I expect from the parliament, that we take our right of initiative and force them to make proposals. We should be the promoter of the promoters, and that is our role.
Bravo. These are the others. As I've been said, as much as Holland has been silent, Renzi has been vocal. And for many things, but also all European issues, and has put forward lots of proposals in the past 6 months. Also, some good proposals and tried to create an intent with Germany in particular. And the Foreign Minister has spoken of an initiative of the six founding countries to relaunch the integration project time and again in the past 12 years. Can you elaborate on this? So, how do you see moving from words and how that rent is good to, you know, doing something concrete and how and which are partners and how do you put it?
Well, in the days of this strongest clashing between Renzi and the President of the European Commission, Juncker, we had a meeting with Renzi between the MEPs, and what I told him, because he asked the suggestions and how to proceed after that, it was January, if I remember correctly, what to do. And my point was that we should try to put the kind of request that Italy is doing about the flexibility of the change of political economy in a broader context of a clear project of change of the European institutions, of change, of a relaunch of the integration. And then Mr. Renzi went to the Sostene, and then he started to produce this kind of documents and proposals, which were also remembered by Joe, which are, in fact, some of them, exactly what is in the political motion of the Congress, like the own resources, Eurozone budget, the Minister of Finance. And I think it's important, as I said before, that after the referendum of UK, and I also agree totally that it was so important that it was stated clearly, and this is also the work of the negotiations of the parliament in the agreement of UK, that finally, because I found out after becoming an MEP how hard was the veto on this issue of the others to go on from the countries that don't want to go on, it was clearly stated that the other countries can pursue the ever closer union, even if UK is not meeting, even if it stays and stays in the special status. So I think we have the conditions to work on that. As I said before, from the previous answer, I think that we need governments that support us, that support the proposals that come from the document of the Congress, And there is one example, I give you one example of something I've been working on myself that comes very completely from the proposals of the government, of the Italian government, is the common unemployment insurance scheme for the Eurozone. This is something that Mr. Parliament presented in the Parliament. It's something we are discussing with the Slovak presidency. I went to Slovakia with Mr. Gualtieri to discuss also about that in the last weeks, and it seems that the Slovak government wants to work on that in the next week. Because that's a clear example, together with other things we can talk think about, of a proposal that can speak to the European people, that it's easy to explain, that it's clear Europe is creating a support scheme to go against macroeconomic imbalances in unemployment numbers in the member states. And that's why, again, to be realistic, this is something we can do at Eurozone level. So again, we go back to the point that we need to work at building Eurozone capacity, which means working in the treaty, but also envisaging a change of the treaty as it goes there. So I think these social issues, these economic social issues that were at the center of some of the proposals of the government are crucial, are key, because we have to give a clear message that Europe is caring of the problems. Also, C.B. Yvonne has remembered very clearly in her previous intervention that it's caring about the people that are still facing problems due to the economic crisis, and this is an important message. It's an important tool to build also in terms of institutional capacity. So I think these proposals are important and can be pursued and must be pursued in the next six months. Otherwise, I think we will lose the train forever.
Let's talk about Schengen. Schengen is not a threat. It has been partially practiced in several member states. I'm not sure if it's been really sustained over the next couple of years. What do you think should be done to preserve Schengen? Do we need to move forward with an external EU order managed together centrally by the EU? Do we need more EU coordination and current security methods? Is there any serious progress in your view that you see, and what does that entail?
Yes, very good, sir. After your check, I mean, you think about that later, that I love you for you. This is really all in one second. Hello, Schengen. Everything was a deal that was to do bring the hommage, première partie de la deuxième intervention de Monsieur Brock. J'ai rarement entendu ce sujet avec la confiance qu'il a fait la toute raison du monde, parce qu'ils disent non, c'est fini. C'est la première fille. C'est toute la raison, je le dis à tout à fait, c'est une des raisons pour laquelle je suis dit peu de ceux qui appuient la sortie de Grande-Bretagne. Moi, je suis là timidement parce que je suis terminé. Et non pas parce que je ne veux pas que la Grande-Bretagne fasse partie de l'Europe fédérale. Au contraire, elle est déjà out et elle va continuer à être out. Elle est dans un hôpital permanent et de temps en temps elle met le pied sur la table. Entre temps, elle nous bousille le procès. Alors ça, c'est dangereux. La question n'est pas celle-là. C'est comment elle va être dedans. Et là, on a des problèmes. C'est pour ça. Mais, quant au reste, bon, moi, je n'ai pas du tout l'impression que nous condamnions ce qu'a dit M. Blouse. La preuve est qu'il continue à dire rien de dit. Et il n'y a pas eu de condamnation et de reproche pour ne pas demander la démission formelle, alors qu'il était en train de vraiment de ne pas tenir son rôle et d'aller contre. Bon, ceci dit, ça ne va pas l'objet de plus en discussion. Je reproche, parce que finalement, c'est une réponse assez facile. Alors, Schengen ne marchera, dans la situation actuelle, ne marchera que si on protège très fortement les frontières de l'Europe. Parce que sinon, les gens sortiront leur fragilité. Et sinon, les gens se retourneront sur les nations pour être protégés. Donc, pour que Schengen marche, pour qu'il y ait vraiment
une périphérie européenne. Cette périphérie doit être énormément et très solidement protégée par France. Premièrement. Deuxièmement, pour ce faire, il faut beaucoup plus d'Europe. Parce que cette protection des frontières extérieures, ça doit se faire à travers une politique européenne. Et non pas confier à chaque pays en lui donnant un peu d'argent parti ou peu d'argent parti, selon qu'il soit sur la frontière et selon qu'il ne soit pas sur la frontière, lui donner un peu d'argent et puis c'est à toi de débrouiller. Et si tu le fais, tu le fais mal, hein, parce que tu ne surveilles pas bien, etc. Ça, c'est de l'autre Europe, mais même dans les Europes misérables intellectuellement. Il faut aller vers une protection européenne de la frontière. Et là, j'ajoute le dernier. Et pour cela, la coopération ne suffit pas. Mais nous coopérons avec beaucoup de services d'intelligence. Et on sait comment ça marche. Aujourd'hui, je demande cela, demain, je me fais cela, etc. C'est mon petit jeu, je suis dans l'état de mon compte. Il faut un service d'intelligence européen. Parce que c'est ça qui nous protège. C'est pas les douaniers. Mais avec une politique de défense européenne. La politique de défense européenne sera le jour où les autres Autrichiens ou les Hongrois sauront qu'avec leur impôt, on paye une armada européenne parce que ça les protège aussi bien qu'aux pays côtiers. C'est-à-dire qu'ils sont aussi protégés que le Wisconsin l'est par l'armada américaine. C'est ce jour-là où ça marchera et où il y aura une Europe. Et bien pour la protection de leurs frontières, c'est la même chose. Plus d'Europe et plus d'Europe intégrée, non pas de collaboration, plus d'Europe intégrée.
Refugee crisis. Refugee crisis has changed a lot of the political debate in the past 12 months. It has poisoned the European political debate. It has caused a backlash in public opinion against the consumer, and we have struggled for 12, 18 months to find any European solution. Progress on sharing refugees has been minimal. Proposals for border management are still lagging behind. We are resorting to deals with third countries to prevent the flow of refugees, which nevertheless will continue. How do you see the situation going forward? Particularly internal problems. Are we really even for lost all the internal solutions to address the refugee crisis?
Well, Paolo, you're totally right. The whole problem has poisoned the debate in Europe, and also, I have to say, poisoned the debate at home in my country. But as our president today in this speech said, we as federalists, we are here for a Europe of freedom, of rule of law, and respect of human dignity. And I think that we as federalists really have to fight for a policy of humanity in Europe and in solidarity. We must give up this. But you ask for the immediate situation. The immediate situation is not that good, to be frank. But we have to see what's going on European level, who is acting how. And here I have I think, important point to make. If you look on what the Commission is doing, the Commission is doing the right proposals. You can debate them, but they are making the proposals and they are taking up the role as Commission concerning relocation mechanism, European border management, and so on. You can have all these examples. If you look to the European Parliament, this institution is working. Just some weeks ago, we had a very, very important initiative report adopted with a large majority on a holistic approach concerning migration issues. what is missing is the council. And here again, the member states, the government are going against, they're looking at national interests primarily and not on the common European issues, and we have to name that. It's not Brussels, not the European Union which is failing, it's the national government who are not doing for their interests. Have to say that very, very clearly, and we should protect the European Union by going against these silly arguments, Brussels, Brussels, Brussels is not working. Here we have to really defend the European Union, and we have to defend it at home in Germany and our member states, because there is an address of not working of European affairs, and that's the council of ministers.
The refugee crisis also has foreign policy implications, notably vis-à-vis Turkey, vis-à-vis the southern neighbors, and I feel that many things are still in the world, that we might be repeating the same that we had some previous years in our relationship with autocratic regimes. The question is, why is Europe not really doing what it should do, and what should it do?
It's exactly the question, what we should do and what we should not do based on our experience from the recent past. First of all, if you look geographically, we have first near to us the Western Balkans, we have the promises from the 70s, and it's clear that when these countries become ready, then they will join the European Union. This is very clear. It's not clear when country will become ready, because there are a lot of problems, especially at the moment in Serbia, Montenegro, Serbia, Bosnia and Herzegovina, also relates to what I mentioned before, the try of Russia to bring this country far from the European Union and to offer them something else in the last moment. Turkey, I firmly believe that we need to continue our dialogue with Turkey. We need to keep Turkey in the European path, to support the civil society, the pro-European civil society in Turkey, the rule of law, the security of the rule of law, of media freedom, human rights, all these points where we see at the moment, unfortunately, the regime of Erdogan going in the other direction. But despite of the debate in all member states, almost all member states, about if Turkey can become a member of the European Union or not, I think this is a wrong debate. It is not on the agenda the full membership of Turkey. At the moment, there are open negotiations with Turkey, and we should continue these negotiations with Turkey, because it's in our own interest, Turkey, to adopt the European legislation, to be a reliable partner, at the moment, especially in the crisis, in migration crisis, which we need also to touch. But we should not be, the Turkey states the conditions to us. We will not make any compromises on the visa liberalization. They should follow all the requests, but follow all other countries which we gave the visa liberalization. Visa free status and the migration crisis should not make for Turkey some special, should not make for Turkey some special deal because of the migration crisis. On Africa and Middle East and the conflict in Syria, as Emma mentioned also before, we are not on the table because we are soft power, we are not hard power. We don't like to, until now, we are a bigger contributor on humanitarian aid, on development aid, from the other side when the need